that to you?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, I'd like to call the meeting of the planning commission on Monday, October 13, 2014, in order. Gina, would you please call the roll?
Yes, Commissioner Jensen?
Here.
Commissioner Tuttle?
Here.
Commissioner Rodman?
Here.
Commissioner Christensen?
Present.
Commissioner Stanger?
Here.
Commissioner Sherwood?
Here.
Commissioner Dirksen?
Commissioner Dirksen notified me today that she would not be able to make it, so she has an excuse. Okay, thank you, Tina. This is the time we set aside for comments by citizens. It can be any matter that is not listed on tonight's agenda. We ask that you keep your comments to 5 minutes. Is there anybody tonight that would like to comment at this time?
I would, but it is about one of tonight's agenda items.
Then we'll get to let you make some comments at later,
okay.
if it's appropriate, okay? Okay, nobody wants to make any comments at this time. Next item is the approval of minutes for September 22nd.
I'll
entertain a motion.
Okay. Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Stanger to approve, seconded by Commissioner Rodman. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, in the workshop tonight, we have two agenda items. Request has been made that we swap the two A and B, so we're going to take item B first, which is RZ 2014-01 overloading rezone, RZ 2014-01. And the presenter is Paul Palka. Paul, you got the comment.
Thank you. Tonight, I want to introduce this rezoning application to the commission. Quadrant Homes is proposing to rezone about 32 acres. This is the Holzerland property.
Transaction occurs on the property, so I have to recuse myself.
Okay. Commissioner Sherwood is recusing himself at this time.
You can see on the map that this is Roosevelt Road here, foothills, coming up through the foothills. This would be Bear Mountain, up in this area and coming west to Roosevelt. This would be the 32 acres here that's currently rural residential 9,600 or minimum lot size of 9,600 square feet. Proposal is to rezone to UR 6,000, and the applicant's proposing to also file for a planned residential development preliminary plat on this once we get a little farther down the road with the rezoning. The applicants are here tonight, so I'm just going to give a very brief overview, and then perhaps we can ask the applicant to share some additional information. This rezone does not require a comp plan amendment, as rezones usually do. The comp plan land use descriptions and policies allows us to do a rezone basically one step up or down without an actual comp plan amendment. So that won't be a part of this process. So this becomes a site-specific rezone. Once we get a quasi-judicial process to consider the rezone, the commission, you know, we did deal with the Bear Mountain subdivision where it was a rezoning as a part of a larger area, but then we also got involved with considering the subdivision within that context. But of course, as you know, the commission has purview over the rezoning, but not the actual subdivision. But we do have tonight a concept plan to give you an idea of what the applicants have in mind. But here's the aerial photograph. This would be Dave Holderland's home in here, and Dave is proposing to rezone this entire property. It's actually Dave Holderland and Quadrant that are like co-applicants on this. Quadrant is interested in this piece in here and up through this property for a potential subdivision. There are some critical areas, and obviously a lot of forest cover on the northern part of this property. And they have been assembling and submitting materials for the SEPA rezone and eventually the preliminary plat. I can take some questions from the commission at this point and then ask Mr. Chairman if we could ask the applicant to share some information. I should note, in terms of process, before we do that, this will be coming back to the commission first meeting in November. We're looking at possibly a public hearing on November 10th with possibly another meeting on the 2nd, scheduled in November, depending on the results of the public hearing and input and so forth. But we're looking to bring this to the commission in November and council in December if the process goes smoothly. And we'll hear more about some of the issues that are coming up from the applicant. And they are having a neighborhood meeting with the Foothills residents this Thursday evening at the library. So I'll be happy to take some questions. Anything that you might have?
I've got one part, a couple of questions. Just so I understand, so is the, and I forget what you called it, the northern property, is that already UR 6000? The one that's north?
This property is UR 6000 now. It's the Thomas property. That was rezoned as a part of this larger area through here a couple of years ago, 2012, I think it was.
And then looking at the way the Foothills is developed, based on the coloring of this map, the Foothills was developed under UR 9600, is that correct?
Yes, as a PRD.
So is that, given the amount of undeveloped space, probably lots of these trees and parks, is that what permitted the lots to be as small as they are?
Well, a combination of two things. One was that as a PRD, of course, they are eligible for smaller lot sizes. And the other is that they have quite a bit of critical areas, wetlands, and we're able to derive a, I call it a density bonus from those critical areas, almost a transfer of density from those critical areas to a certain point, which resulted in the number of lots and the eventual density there.
The size of the lot. So in this proposed area, what kind of critical areas or other potentially undevelopable areas might apply even as a UR 9600 to produce small lot sizes that might already be the size of the Foothills today?
There's a couple of wetland areas, doesn't show very well on this map, but let me flip ahead to this plan, which is a concept for the subdivision. This area lies right in and through here. And you can see in this map that there's wetland here in this area. This would be the boundary of Bear Mountain subdivision around here. White Mountain Road coming through here, the foothills. There's wetland here. There's wetland.
Let me get a little closer here.
There's wetland in here, and one more. Help me on that.
Which ones have you named already?
Here and here. Oh, here.
Yeah. Can't see.
These three. Large area up here. Small one here in the center, and a very small area here. That would be the...
In the middle of that house plot.
Those would be the critical areas.
The third one you pointed was in the middle of a
yes.
Plot for a house.
Yes. And I'll let the applicant talk a little bit more about
okay.
this kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah. That's all for now.
No question. Commissioner Steiner?
So, if I'm reading this right, so it will increase the density by about over a third. Is that what I'm gathering?
It would effectively increase it from a yield of, say, 4 units per acre to a potential yield of 6 units per acre, generally speaking.
That would be without, what do you call the?
PRD.
The PRD. If a PRD is applied, it would be even more dense than that, is that correct?
Potentially, but in reality, by the time you deduct roads, park space, the critical areas, with this one, I think there'll be lucky to get 6. Right now they've got...
You can't feed it, so...
How many lots, ma'am?
I believe we were at 70 and a half on second night.
What?
Approximately 70.
Okay, we've got about 70 lots on 32 acres gross right now, which is a fairly low density actually, due in large part to the large area of open space that's being retained. But the final density is going to be a determination of how the land and the lots are laid out with respect to those critical areas and so forth. The issue would be to do with the potential density of this 6,000 square foot area for this entire parcel, since we're requesting rezoning for the entire 32 acres. But this, the quadrant subdivision is in about plus or minus 10 acres. So they're pushing in somewhere around 6 or 7 units per acre.
Okay, the 70 units, does that include that extra bed, or is that just in the 32 acres?
That includes the property up here, it's called the Thomas property, which is about 3 acres. So in the rezone area, about 10 acres, you know, take, let's say it's going to be 6 acres, possibly a little bit more, which is fitting for UR 6000.
Okay. Commissioner Stanger, you have a question to answer?
Yes.
I have a question on this appearance of fairness doctrine. I'm not familiar with that. Doctrine, can you explain that a little bit, please?
Yeah, we actually went through that last year. It was regarding the East Monroe rezone, where I led the commission through a series of questions to quiz whether you have any interest of any sort in this property or in this decision.
Okay,
and we'll do that again hearing.
Okay. Thank you for reminding me what that was. Okay. Commissioners, any other questions?
Yeah.
Commissioner Rondo?
Access to Roosevelt Road doesn't look very good to me. Why couldn't they go on the road, access road straight out, rather than winding around through there? Make a lot easier for the fire and police department to get through there.
Well, again, the commission does not deal with the subdivision. We're using this as a concept to illustrate what could be done, or the level of development that could be,
so this is a
context. But we're here to discuss the rezone and the potential impacts of that, which could include traffic impacts, but not the details of the subdivision. This is meant to be an aid in understanding how it might be developed.
Okay.
But the level of detail for the rezone is to that higher altitude general rezone.
Commissioners, any other questions? Commissioner Jensen,
looking at this concept map, it looks to me like the lots are pretty close to the same size as the existing foothills. And again, the existing foothills achieved that size while under UR 9600.
Yes.
So I guess I'm not understanding why there needs to be a rezone if they can't just do the same thing that's already here under 9600 and still get the sizes that they're looking for. So what, I don't see what's different that would require changing the zoning to do the same size.
Well, the foothills was more of a unique case in that they had quite a bit of open space, critical area, that effectively turned the resulting development into more of a 6,000 level of density. In this case, rezoning to 6,000 would result in basically the same type of density with the foothills area.
Let me ask my question this way then. If the foothills before development had been rezoned to UR 6,000 and then applied all those critical areas, how small would the lot sizes have been? How many more lots would they have fit in?
I don't know. I can't answer that. But I don't know it would have been that much different.
Why?
They could use, they would have had more lots because they could have had more, a higher number of smaller lots.
I mean, if it was UR 6000, they could have built exactly what we see today without raising a single finger worried about these areas. They just would have been left there. But if they picked those up and said, we're going to do the same, we want credit for more density because we've got all this area we're not building on, to me that says this would be a lot more lots.
It could be denser, but not significantly. There's a limit on how much you are able to transfer and apply in terms of density from critical areas. It really comes down to the mathematical balance of layout of lots and how many can reasonably be designed and built, fit within the property. So there's some comparison between the two, but there are also some distinct differences in terms of how they came about. But the end result is going to be fairly similar.
I just don't see how that could be, but we don't know how they were, right? Obviously the roles would have been different if they were more squad there, but is UR any of these 9600, 6000, are they required to be detached family homes? Could they be townhouses attached?
They could be single family or they could be duplexes. There are no attached single family units in.
So you could have a row of townhouses in a straight row, or could you? All connected.
No, not in UR 6000 or 9600.
For the most you could have the
single
duplex.
Family or duplex. Right.
Okay. Thanks.
Do
Just to clarify then, in order to get the density that they're proposing on this concept map, it requires changing the zoning to UR6000.
Yes, that's based on a rezone of the property, the concept is.
Okay, that's I think that clears it up in my mind. I think what the question you were getting at is in order to get that concept in there, it has to be rezoned.
Right.
It has nothing to do with what was zoned before.
Or they would have to set aside a bunch of land to help give them credit under 9600 to get the size down like they did in the foothills.
Yeah.
Okay. This property does not have nearly the extent of critical areas that the foothills have. So there won't be a transfer of that density into additional units or additional lots to nearly the same extent. And obviously there are some physical limitations on how much you can fit within any particular piece of property.
Commissioner Tuttle?
Thank you. If it's rezoned to a higher density, can they still apply to be a PRD and make it even denser? Or is it, you're saying there's not enough property there to do that?
Well, it would be a parallel process of rezoning and a preliminary plat. At some point, we'll enter the process and we'll be moving through with it.
The rezone would already be going through at that time.
It would have been started, right. They can discuss more of this, but they will be submitting a preliminary plat yet this year for a PRD, and they're at risk, frankly, until the rezoning is approved. But the city does allow applicants to, say in this case, submit a rezone and submit a preliminary plat for the same property.
But is the density that's shown here based on a PRD, or is it just based on the street UR6000?
Based on a PRD in UR6000 zoning.
Gotcha.
Right.
And what would it, I mean, would it be possible to see what a PRD on U96000 would look like? I mean, not right this second, but at some point.
Right.
No.
No.
Why?
The 9600, it could be developed in a lot of different ways. Depending on the density, the limited density transfer from the critical areas and the PRD lot sizes. And it's an exercise in balancing the number of lots, the program for the development, and it 9600 is going to look very it's going to look similar to another development. If they were to develop this as 9600, it would be less dense than the current foothills, certainly.
Yeah.
At 9600 zone.
As a development.
As a PRD.
It would be less, likely be less as a PRD. Remember, the foothills has the net area as a result of setting aside a
right,
lot of
park and all that, right?
Right. Of course, you know that you live there.
Right.
I live over by Curry Road, and that's 9600. Like the lot sizes are roughly 9,600 meters.
All right, that's all for
okay.
And there are no more?
Yes, question. This is not going to be a PRD then.
Yes.
It will be a PRD.
If it's approved.
It's approved. Okay.
If the rezone is approved and the preliminary plan is approved, it will be a PRD.
Okay.
Right. It will be developed as a PRD. And again, the actual details of that are not the commission's purview, but the discussion about the density. Yes, that's relevant.
Okay.
You know, some impression of density.
Right.
Which is mostly an issue in my mind of, well, things like, basic things like services, access, and then of course compatibility with the neighboring properties.
Right.
Bear Mountain to the north is a, as you know, a PRD in 6000 zoning.
Okay.
Its density is, as it's proposed, it's less than four, because they have such a large amount of critical areas within that 20 acres that they're, actually it's 23, 24 acres, but right, somewhere around four. Net, or gross density.
Another question? Commissioner Jensen.
The reason I'm asking this is I saw it happen just south of me, I think it was Marvin, something
Marvin Gardens.
Mm-hmm. When the Foothills PRD was done, was any of this subject property a piece of that? Because they did that at Marvin Gardens. He pulled off, put 30 houses all crammed together, left a chunk of property that could hold one house based on that. And the only way to get out of that, and he succeeded, was to rezone that one house property to something different. And it kind of broke it free from the bonds of that PRD. And then he got to do his own new thing. And now the whole area is dense housing, and there's no open space.
Yeah, the large part of this was under one ownership some years ago. And actually, this piece right here is part of the Foothills subdivision plat. The Foothills folks have an easement across this for some road side planting and so forth. But this piece would be rezoned with the rest of this property, all under the ownership of Dave Holzman.
So that piece would have probably been part of the PRD originally.
This is part of the subdivision,
right?
And part of the PRD.
Yeah, so the fact that there's nothing built on it was part of what allowed the density that they credited.
The ownership did not change in that process.
Right.
This is owned by Foothills HOA, well, by individuals at Foothills HOA. This piece is owned by Mr. Holzman.
But what I'm saying is that if it gets rezoned, it will affect, it sort of takes away that piece that was used as part of the density credit that the Foothills has.
This piece, the gross area of the subdivision, yes, included this small parcel here.
Right. But not the rest.
Its effect on the density of the entire parcel is incidental.
Then why isn't it just being left out of the rezon?
Because Mr. Holderman owns this and wants to make this a part of this property for future development.
Yeah.
That's
double dipping.
That's really not the concern of the commission.
It should be, shouldn't it?
In what way?
What?
Well, it's part of the rezone discussion.
Yeah.
The question is what exactly?
The question is that piece of property going to get a bunch of houses on it? That's basically what he's getting at.
Yeah.
Currently, not as a part of this application.
No, but a future application. Right. And so it has broken free from the binds.
Company.
It can't make clear right now.
The Foothills HOA does not own this property.
They may not own it, but
they
That piece of property was used as credit for undevelopment of the Foothills. So it needs to remain undeveloped. It needs to remain open space.
That's going to take a little bit of research to confirm that.
That I would like. I would like that. Yes, but I haven't seen this been done once before. I would like to get that research.
Like, can we leave that as an open question to be answered at a future date?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
I don't think it's anything that can be answered at this time.
Right.
Commissioners, anything else? Okay, you said we're going to have somebody come up there.
Yes, we have folks here from the applicant who can come up and introduce themselves and share some more information with us.
Is this mic on?
Yes.
It should be.
If
not, I'll speak loudly.
If you could give your name and address for the record.
My name is Matt Howell. I'm with CPH Consultants. I represent Dave Holzerlin, the applicant, and as well as Quadrant Homes, who does have future development plans within the rezone area. As Paul's explained, we are seeking the rezone to UR6000 to take advantage of lot size primarily and density to offset the critical areas that really encumber the property. This concept plan is actually not the most current, but it is the last that the city has seen of it during our pre-application meetings. We've had two pre-apps on this site to try to vet all opportunities without, frankly, going through the rezone, but it's turned out to be the recommended course and really the only course for us to get the densities we need from a yield standpoint to offset the infrastructure costs. And we believe also that it's consistent with what's going on around it, both in terms of its existing density as well as the recent rezone to the north. I don't have what our gross or net yield is on this offhand, but I can tell you the minimum lot sizes that we're entertaining from a market standpoint, the minimum sizes are consistent with Foothills, but that's not our average lot size that we'd be looking at. But we're very early in the stages. We are taking the risk, moving ahead with the preliminary subdivision, which we intend to submit in November. We are expecting to be back here on the 10th, hopefully, public hearing. And although we know we're proceeding at risk, we think we've looked at this property, not just what Quadrant's looking at, but Mr. Holzerlin's pieces in terms of the rezone, pretty in depth. So, and I'm happy to answer any questions. I can start by regarding the track 901 in the foothills. I will do some more research on my end as well. It's not our intent to double dip. I don't know the history of the foothills in terms of its underlying zone and the PRD. I can tell you the only way for us to get to the density of foothills or the properties to the north is to go to the UR6000 with the PRD subdivision.
Of the whole area, you can't just chop that one piece off?
Of the track 901?
Yeah.
As Paul said, the reason it's in there is because Dave Holzerlin owns it today. When we first made application, I actually left that parcel out. Was completely unintentional and was told that's also Dave's property. We're supposed to include it. So, but I don't know the history in terms of any density transfers that went from it. I don't know that there were density transfers. I just know on the face of the plat it shows as a future development parcel. I don't know if that's a future development parcel at the foothills density or at the UR9600 density. I just honestly don't know what the terms of the PRD are. But I will look into that. But I think if it were done as a PRD under the UR6000, it's not going to be any more dense than what you see on the foothills today or what the adjacent would be. So,
question for you. By the time we have our public hearing, how much better will your concept map be at that time? Will it be pretty much nailed down or still in flux?
Well, even at first submittal, it will be a preliminary subdivision. By the 10th, we expect to be ready for application, so I'd say we'd probably be 90%
okay.
Vetted. We'll have our wetland studies done by then. Traffic has already started as part of the rezone application. We've submitted traffic analysis to compare the impacts of the two zoning from a traffic standpoint. We did actually earlier concepts. There was a question earlier about why we didn't just take the road straight through. Yeah. We actually have had earlier concepts that did that at the city's direction, and I think rightfully so, with Bear Mountain coming out at Roosevelt, putting yet another connection just south of that didn't make a lot of sense and probably would cause more operational issues than it would benefits. So they had us tie those two together, so there's just a single point of access at Roosevelt. We've been looking heavily at the stormwater, again, between the UR 6000 and 9600, so we have been looking at those kinds of SEPA issues. Those are included in the expanded checklist that we submitted with the rezone.
Commissioners, any suggestions?
The access you're talking about from, is it Bear Mountain?
Right.
Is that the northern border of your proposal here?
I don't know if it's hard to say.
Yeah,
I'm
trying to.
No, it's the road's down.
It's down right there.
Oh, this is that one.
Yeah, we'll go all the way to Rose.
Correct, yeah. Correct. So we
just have Bear Mountain here.
Okay.
The road coming through, right through this area.
Where's Foothills Boulevard on that?
Not on this map.
But where would it be?
It's
down this little thing up right there. It's this little teeny space. Yeah.
Here's Foothills, and this project is actually up in this area.
How close does it get to Roosevelt's?
Which, the rezone?
The this development here.
You mean the house?
Paul, can you switch back?
It looks like it borders it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right on.
We take access from White Mountain Road, so that's the stub road that's protected. And then essentially we angle kind of a south westerly. So Dave's estate remains. We don't actually abut any of the Foothills property other than that connection at the Foothills or at the White Mountain Road. Is that right?
So the home's actually back up against Roosevelt.
Yeah. Roosevelt or Mr. Holzerland's properties.
Right.
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 So
this is Roosevelt.
This is all Dave's.
Oh, okay.
That's
remaining. Right.
Okay.
See that.
Roosevelt on this side of the map.
And this is that large landscape track that exists out there today. So we have, again, we're getting into the details of the subdivision. Sewer for the plat is actually by existing manhole that's stubbed for Dave's property.
So given the shape of that, is there not plans there, I guess maybe not today, to develop the southern part of the property?
I honestly haven't, I don't know.
It's not part of
it. I mean, it's quite the compound right now, so I don't know if Dave has any plans in the near future to develop it or subdivide it.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. Okay, there was a gentleman. Is this the time when you wanted to make a comment?
Yes, please.
Okay, I can give you some time. Please
thank
give
you
your name and an address. And remember that this is a discussion at this time.
Brian Kirschenman, 16731 Pinnacle Road Southeast. I'm with the Foothills Homeowners Association Board. I don't think we're really opposed to the rezone as a whole, and we're not opposed to Mr. Holzerland developing his property. It's his right to do so. I'm just a mechanic. I work on cars. I spent a lot of time in the past few years going on the city's website and trying to learn about all of this processes and just make sure it's done correctly in the way it's supposed to be done. And I trust you guys will do the right thing. You've been asking the right questions. It makes me feel really good. I appreciate the staff for dealing with me and answering my questions and trying to educate me. And we are meeting with the developer. It's been very positive up to this point. I'm very happy to say that. It's nothing like Bear Mountain has been, so it's good. But we have a few questions and concerns that still have not been answered. And Bear Mountain needed a comp plan amendment. And I asked city staff why this does not need a comp plan amendment. The policies that they cite are not listed on the city's website, so I don't know how they come up with that. So I'm just simply asking the question. I'm not saying it doesn't need it or it does need it. I'm just asking why doesn't it need it, and show me why. Because it probably needs it, because I'm running calculations using the whole site, using the PRD numbers that the city posts on the website, and they definitely exceed 7 units per acre. So that does not seem consistent with the comp plan. Even if you're jumping just one level down, you're now going to 7 units per acre. So this development, or whatever Mr. Hoserlin has planned, sure seems like it's going to be exceeding what's already set to be there, because they are going to do a PRD, and there's bonuses for doing PRDs. You get 25% extra, 30%, you know, at different zoning levels. So there's going to be a lot of houses, and the lot size is going to be consistent with the foothills. Their preliminary plan looks fantastic. You know, who knows what it looks like now, but if it's similar to what's there, it looks really good. So that's one of our big issues, is does it need it or not, the amendment, and then Track 901. I believe Track 901 should be removed from the rezone area. Track 901 is part of the Foothills PRD. It is clearly listed in title as part of the Foothills PRD. It's listed in our PRD plat map. It gives the restrictions and conditions of that property. So Mr. Hoserlin chose to include that property into the PRD when it was created, just like he did with Division 5. He also reserved this for future development. The city allowed Mr. Hoserlin to develop Division 5. The board worked with Mr. Hoserlin to make sure he got what he wanted out of the development. We ran it through our ACC committee. We ran it through the board. We did everything to accommodate Mr. Hoserlin, and we will do the same with Track 901. Track 901 has already been zoned through the PRD to have the lot density that Foothills is currently. It's part of our PRD, so if you're going to rezone it, I believe you would need to do a plat amendment. So I've asked city staff through a public records request to go through and pull the original Foothills files so I can try and determine what the original intent of Track 901 was. But your point is exactly my point. Why would you rezone a piece of property that's already at the density that they ideally want? So that's the crux of the question, why? And it certainly seems like they're going to do PRDs, and they're going to exceed the, you know, what's currently listed in the comp plan. But the city's website, honestly, is not fantastic with all the information. I've spent a whole week now running calculations in the MMC to try and figure out how many lots they could yield with this whole thing, what they're going to be at, what they could possibly be at, and then going to the comp plan, trying to figure out how it's consistent, because I've been told it's consistent and there's no amendment required. So I just don't really see that. So it's just questions at this point in time. I really didn't want to do this before our public meeting, but unfortunately we couldn't get that scheduled before. So between city working with me and me working with the developer, I just can't get all these questions answered, so I figured I'd better, on the first night, write a letter stating our immediate concerns, and hopefully you guys will take the time to read it and ask some questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments, commissioners? Okay. Saw another hand here. Do you have a comment? Could you please come up and give your name and address for the record, please?
Greetings, Planning Commission. My name is Laura Thomas. I live at 16857 Copper Mountain Road. I am on one of the lovely alley-loaded lots that's only about 4,000 square feet. I love my neighborhood. It's a PRD. I've been happily there for almost a decade. But I do concur with our HOA's preliminary findings. Actually, the HOA had made contact with me, and when I went to go to the website, the most current comp plan for the land use designation for the element is from 2009. So we weren't able to, able to see what those comp plan policies were. So we're hoping that I'm really coming up here really to ask that the website be updated so that we can see the policies. That's it. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your comment. Mm-hmm. Paul?
Sure, we do have the current comp plan on the website. I'm afraid you didn't get to the right place. I will send links to that to help address that question.
The comp plan is there, but I didn't see any policies.
Could you make sure that this fellow knows where that policy
yes.
is where you talked about you don't have to have a
right.
Change to the comp plan?
We'll get that information.
Okay. We're trying to put it straightened out for you, sir.
Thank you.
Any other comments, commissioners?
Well, I just wanted to tell us, thank you. What is, so after this preliminary review, whatever, what are the next steps in the process?
The next steps would be to bring more detailed information about evaluating the rezone against the criteria that we use for considering rezones, the public hearing, and more detailed information on the potential impacts. I think some of this may come out at the end of the meeting, but how they might be addressing potential impacts of the wetlands or the release to an eagle's nest that's in the northern part of the property through the CEPA process. We're still working through we have a completed CEPA process as in this and have just recently issued a determination of non-significance, but there are impacts that need to be considered that will be discussed more as we get into more detail.
So what kind of timeline are we, is that going to be at the next meeting or?
Yes,
okay.
The November 10th.
And then will we have answers to the questions here?
Yes.
Okay. One more. And then as far as the whole, what is it, 901?
Yes.
We're going to address that or are we just going to?
This piece?
Yeah.
Yes, we'll look into that as well.
Okay.
We'll try and complete our research on that.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe a silly question, is there an EIS required on this at all?
No. An EIS would be required if we came up with a determination of significance, and a potential would be required. But in this case, we did not find significance. There are things that may need to be mitigated, but they're to be addressed through the CEPA process.
Okay.
Without an EIS.
Okay, then I guess my last question is before our next meeting, we'll have just about everything we need to get ready for the public hearing.
Yes.
I'm open. Okay.
And, sorry.
Commissioner Antola.
Then after the public hearing, then what?
Well, after the public hearing, the commission will have a couple options. I'm assuming that we're going to do the public hearing, have discussion, and then have a recommendation come out of the next meeting in November. So, Lisa, I know we prefer not to formally a recommendation the same way as the public hearing, so we have time to consider what's been brought in.
Thank you. Commissioners, anything else? Okay, anybody else have any comments on this before we move on to our next topic? All are we done with this now?
I think so.
Okay. Next item on the agenda, if I can find the agenda here.
Commissioner Sherwood.
Oh yeah, somebody bringing information.
Come back.
Oh yeah.
Hopefully he's not asleep out there.
Brian?
Yes.
Okay. Paul, we have an IT department, right? So maybe Brian could come in and show him where he was looking.
If Paul sends me the link, that's perfect.
Yeah, but then it should be easier.
I was just looking. I could not find the policies at all in the comp plan. The ones that we referenced in our meeting, I sent Melissa a follow-up email.
It's in another place in the comp plan.
So maybe it could be both, though.
It's in your place on the website.
Absolutely. Like I said, this is my, I have no idea what to do. I'm going through all the tables and figuring out calculated numbers. When you guys said
I'm
surprised that I got 7 per acre.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right, the next item on the agenda is the comprehensive plan amendment CPA 2012-C 2015 plot plan update. Paul?
Thank you. Got several materials tonight. What we have is a couple of maps. You've seen this community concept plan in the past, and at our last meeting, we have been, since we sent the packet out, we have been working on some refinement of both of these maps. And I'll talk about these maps first, and then some of the rest of the materials. Recall, this grew out of the workshops, and specifically the Storefront Studio in June, in trying to define these districts for the entire city, which would lend some basis to how we develop goals and policies, and particularly how we develop programs within these different areas. Some things being citywide, some things being perhaps specific to a certain district. But what this map is, it's a simplification that shows the 4 districts being this central area, West Main Street's coming out through here, downtown is in this area, the central, some folks call it Old Monroe, the earlier part of the city, Freiland's out here, this is Freiland Boulevard. That is the small town district. That is where residents live, some work, spend most of their time. The downtown is the commercial area that is more of the scale of smaller shops for local residents. It's not so much of a outsider's destination for commercial as is North Kelsey here, which lies within the regional district. That district really It lies either side, north, certainly north of Highway 2, with the fairgrounds in here, North Kelsey area here, Farlands Industrial Park over in this area, this being Highway 2 right along through here. Those are district rules for areas that attracts people from outside of the city, whether they be visitors, consumers, employees, who live elsewhere. And certainly the folks within Monroe all also patronize this area, but it's a distinct district as opposed to the small town district. Further north, we're calling this North Hill, up Chain Lake Road, up in the foothills up in this area. It's developed more of a suburban style, a little less density. It's not the same density or grid pattern as you find in the older parts of the city. And it's physically separated, as you know, by Highway 2 and the North Kelsey and so forth. And is an area of its own. So how we look at that is going to be different than how we look at the regional district, which will be different as to how we look at the small town district. And the last would be the Skykomish River District, which is the Cadman Pit here, Sky Valley Park, El Borland, and East Monroe, as at least at this point, since the Growth Management Appearance Board has declared invalid, is at this time back to its previous zoning until this is either complied or remains invalidated. We can talk more about that in the staff reports. Okay. So that sets the basis for the rest of these materials that you've got tonight. And this map takes that district plan a little further, gets into some of the detail. Now, we are looking at another potential change here, which you've not included. Here's that North Hill district all through here. The regional district with North Kelsey, Chain Lake, going down along toward Old Owen here. Fairgrounds, airport up in here, Farlands Industrial Park. Okay, you're familiar with all that. Now, we've had some discussions about the small town district. Right now, it's downtown. It's the south neighborhood here, the adjacent downtown neighborhoods here, going through town, further west out into the Frylands, and the West Main Street corridor through here. What we're doing is taking the downtown area here and expanding that in terms of a sub-area of this district. We're taking this and pulling it further west, the other side of Kelsey, and wrapping around like this. I just didn't quite get the map from our consultants yet this afternoon. But that, we're going to call that the downtown neighborhood. It includes the retail core and also includes those walkable neighborhoods where there's quite a bit of movement back and forth between the residences and the downtown. And we're also looking at give a little bit of reality to it. Possible campus here, potentially at the Wagner School campus for a co-facility for the City of Monroe School District and college in one complex, or one campus, so to speak. There's the potential, that's been talked about for some time. There's a lot of interest in the idea.
You mean right here?
Just west on Main, just a little ways down, right? Redeveloping the parking area potentially that's on Main and back into the ball fields on the north side. This is long range, but it's a potential idea. Another place for redevelopment might be around by the Park Place Middle School on some of that property. But that, if that occurs long range, it's going to draw more people to this immediate area, and that's something that we thought we should consider as a possibility in the long range and how it might affect this whole downtown neighborhood.
What does a co-campus mean for the city?
We would have a city hall as a part of this campus. It would not include the public works operations.
But not the, so what happens to this?
Could be sold off, redeveloped. Don't have an answer to that one. The city had a master plan done several years ago for this property, which included constructing a new building on the footprint of, not on the footprint, on this property that we're sitting on now, demolishing this building and building a multi-story city hall building, which I think also had some potential for shared use. But however, Community College went to the state legislature just recently, wrote this idea, long-range idea of combining resources, and they have a lot of requirements or issues with state legislature and things like this. The legislature gave them a green light, so we think it's a great idea. And you should continue to move forth and see if you can make it happen. So there is support at the highest level for the idea with the college.
Maybe they'll pay for it.
Financing can be tricky because we have three different entities, different finance mechanisms and so forth, but it's a possibility.
Commissioner Tuttle?
Oh, sorry. So one more. The small town district, it looks like, I understand how the coding is, all this outline in purple?
Yes.
Right, so that goes all the way across 522.
Yes, it
Am
does.
I not?
Really takes in all of this as
okay,
a
okay, because you're really
district.
Focusing over in the downtown area, but all the rest of that is considered the small town district,
this,
too?
Right, this would be so-called downtown neighborhood here on the eastern third. We still have the West Main along the southern edge, and then this would be, we're calling this the central neighborhood, which is split by 522 through here. But you recall, we're also trying to make some physical connections between each side of 522, at least one potential underpass. Right now we have 154 that goes underneath, and otherwise it's you have to go farther north or farther south. So we're trying to bring these two sides of town, these two areas together, so that you have better connectivity between them.
So one part of that area is almost primarily residential, and then
right. Yeah.
Get, so it just seems weird to lump them all into one district. But
what's a general high-level district? And we are trying to split this now with the downtown neighborhood here, and you know we haven't really thought about trying to combine these areas. It gets at this level, we don't want to get into a block by block definition of different neighborhoods. That's more a general idea.
Yeah, but that's not block by block. That's the entire Frylands and the
right.
entire downtown.
Right.
It's a pretty broad.
They talk about here. They talk about in the description about walkable.
I get that, but I don't know if you're walking from Frylands Boulevard to downtown.
No,
you know, you might walk just in regions here, like walk to the neighborhood park or something, or walk to the school. Stuff that doesn't apply in the other up in the hills where the other type of.
Yeah, I mean, I read the description. It just seems like.
That's why we're looking at expanding the downtown neighborhood, because it logically should include the homes that are within, say, quarter mile, maybe half a mile of the downtown core. That would be a great opportunity for walking and shopping.
Like the Blakely and the Fremont.
Right.
That side, yeah.
Right. The Frylands and the east side of 522, not likely to walk downtown or walk very far north without some good connections.
Right.
The Frylands residents are, for the most part, have to go outside of their area to go shopping.
Yeah.
If they go to Fred Meyer or Safeway or whatever, we're hoping that we can long range develop a node here at 522 and Main Street in that general area that ideally would include something like a grocery store. If there's a market for it. Right? And that would serve this Frylands area
right
here. And the other thing we need to consider
And across Highway 2, because Frylands Boulevard is access. It would be Bear Mountain and Foothills and whatever else up there, too. They would come down that way.
We need to really split up into in different areas. You physically on Highway 2.
Well, not having to drive down Highway 2 is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Avoiding lines is kind of a big deal.
Yeah. It is a big deal.
Thank you.
You want Commissioner Jensen?
Yes. Again, on the small town district, I am still bothered by the notion that it crosses over the railroad tracks. And that's no longer downtown. When you cross over the tracks, you're on Highway 2, and as that region's called, the regional benefit district, that's really what that is.
Right.
And so this red area needs to stop at the railroad tracks. And the district itself needs to stop at the railroad tracks. So.
Yeah, it's a good point. The railroad does split off that northern part of the downtown area. The downtown master plan did jump the tracks to include land toward Highway 2, but in terms of the district, you may be correct in that the split should logically come
and
along the
even
if
you're talking
south
about
side of the tracks.
Expanding downtown now more westward and southward, it would certainly fit to then pull that northern line back to the railroad tracks. I would not want a property owner up there on Highway 2 to be curtailed from making some improvements on 2 because they're in the downtown zone or district or whatever this thing is called in the complaint. They should be inclusive in this gray area up here and able to do a little bit more than they could otherwise do as a downtown business.
Yeah, that gets somebody.
It's important to make, but I think that's important in the comp plan to make that new line to potentially free them up to develop more appropriately for Highway 2 and not for Main Street.
Now we're bringing forth this map, and we're still making some refinements with this to consider things like that and the goals and policies that are coming through. This is all we're trying to set the stage for. Getting you a little more familiar with this material. We're also going to the Parks Board Thursday night and City Council on October 21st and looking at a October 29th, Wednesday, joint meeting. We talked about this last time with the Commission, Park Board Council, and Citizens Advisory Committee. So everyone will have been exposed to this and be somewhat familiar with it. Then we can have a good joint discussion on what is being presented and the direction we're headed so that we can get some consensus about what's being done. So this is really intended to be get acquainted session on a lot of this material.
That's where it should.
So we have a better basis to continue the conversation on the 29th.
That's where it should.
Maybe. I gotta think about what businesses are over there.
Yeah, they're all facing Highway 2. None of them face Main Street.
I think downtown, was extended.
Wait. So the small
Your business doesn't face
Main Street. Yes, we don't. Yeah, that is kind of a weird area. Dick's Tire House and the tattoo part, those are all still downtown, even though they're. You can walk across the tracks.
Where are they?
I think
across
the street.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Big across the tracks. Mm-hmm.
But they're still kind of in the, they're on Main Street. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think downtown.
I wouldn't want to alienate those from any kind of Main Street activities or improvements. So
So I guess that's the one that's facing Main Street. All the others.
Dairy Queen on Main Street is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Dairy Queen and all those guys, they're facing Highway 2,
right.
And they shouldn't be dragged into downtown. They should be allowed to be part of that. So,
yeah.
We've been wanting to do a little job that way.
With the downtown,
it depends which way they're facing now.
The downtown plan was extended across the tracks toward Highway 2 to literally reach downtown out to that intersection toward Highway 2.
But was that in the day before when North Kelsey had a much different vision? And now that vision has changed, I don't know that we need to keep this reaching out in that direction.
I would physically want to go see who we're cutting out before drawing the line.
Yeah. And determining, you know, what's the negative
or
what's the positive. You know, you're saying it's a negative to be part of downtown.
If they're facing Highway 2.
Yeah,
maybe.
It may not be.
Maybe an advantage.
Yeah, like Grocery Outlet has a backside, you know.
Right.
But I get what you're saying. You're saying that because the behavior of the location is similar, it should be similarly.
Yeah.
It's just a funky area, so you got it with the highway and the train tracks and Main Street.
Yeah.
It kind of look exactly where the border should go.
Commissioner Rodman, you have a comment?
Well, I was going to make you guys a little history lesson about Old Town North. Old Town North is not downtown, it's out of Park Place Road. That's Old Town North.
Oh, one by the school?
Yeah,
that little shop.
Right out there, Park Place.
Yeah,
Papa Mia's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Paul?
Yeah.
Okay, we talked about the map. Anything else on the map?
Not on the map.
I have a comment on the map. I see on this map finally has some indication of what each of these districts, how they're partitioned out. On previous maps, I had no idea which district was what because there was no way of telling.
Understand.
It's getting a little more clear. Still not completely clear, but it's getting better. So that's my main comment on the map. Try to make it so that, you know, if you look at it, you can tell, okay, that's that district, and that's that district. That makes it a lot easier. Commissioner Tull?
Excited. I have another question about Al Borland Park. I think of that being off of Lewis, but I hear people refer to Al Borland as the backside, too. So when it says on here connecting Al Borland to the downtown, are we talking about Lewis Street? No, we're talking about that back. Okay. Thanks, Brett. Never mind, I got it.
Factoring in the historical study, one of the big ideas that came across was trying to reconnect downtown to the river into Al Borland, potentially opening up more access directly from downtown, not by way of Lewis and then back around to the east and up toward Highway 2, but to try to take advantage of that as a resource. It's a little different situation since there is so much natural area there, or shoreline, that sort of thing. It's not like Snohomish where First Street is literally right on the river and backs up to the river. It's a different situation. But in the long run, we're hoping that there's a good way to recognize that Skycomish River corridor and bring it into downtown, literally, figuratively bring it to downtown and help punch some light into downtown. And the areas like, you know, Fremont that are ripe for redevelopment.
They need to be cleaned up down there anyway.
Pardon?
They need to be cleaned up down there anyway.
It can be
shady.
Dark.
Yeah. Okay.
So the other things you were given were a memo from Studio Cascade that really talks about what this is. It's as the basis for preparing the comprehensive plan, I mean, writing the actual draft plan and the strategies that, and policies that are going to be used to, as an outgrowth of the, this concept map to create the elements like land use, like transportation, housing, and so forth. They have taken all of our existing goals and policies and incorporated them and made some edits to those, and also proposed some new policies within this package. And there are a couple of key areas that came out of their reviews that are highlighted in the memo from Leland Consulting. One of the big ones is the airport. And whether the city should...
Did he leave?
Yes, he can walk
out. Is Daryl gone?
Yeah, he just left.
Okay. Well, I hear talking, so he might be out there talking.
I thought he was sitting over here. Mm-hmm. I thought Daryl was still over here.
No, he was out there yet, so he left.
I don't go along with the recommendation here.
Well, the item for discussion is whether the city should continue to strongly support the airport as the comp plan does now.
Yes.
And preserve it as an airport and try and promote enhancement of the airport and related airport uses, like we've had a couple of starts on something the last couple of years that did not come together on expanding and rehabbing the airport. As opposed to redeveloping that for primary employment, more like an industrial center or an employment center, rather than an airport.
What, is it private property?
Yes, it is.
What does the property owner want
to
do?
Well, that's what we're going to find out before we get into this joint meeting.
Before we get into the... The property out there is... Yeah, there's a sandwich thing running in the middle of one thing. And it also is a wetlands area.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you... There's an area there, Brad, isn't there, that... The county gave us to maintain as a wetlands.
Yeah, we purchased the property from I forget what his name was. Ventures Northwest, I think is the name of the company.
We can do it.
That we gave the development rights to conservation somebody, which now has turned into Forterra. So actually, there's a conservation easement over the top of it that's owned by Forterra. That's the wetlands that's immediately west and north of the airport and is off the end of the runway.
I thought it was south of the airport.
No, south of the airport is owned by the Snohomish County Parks Department.
Yeah, but didn't they give this one piece of property there?
That's their piece of property. They didn't give it to the city.
They didn't give it to
the city. No, we bought the stuff from Ventures Northwest.
The airport is, Medic One uses it all the time. Close to the hospital here, and they recommended that Snohomish had a better airport. Snohomish Airport floods, guys. I know we had an airplane over there one time. It was too far away. One day, I don't go along with their recommendation. Oh, one other thing I got on the studio Cascade on the item 4 on the policies back here. It said, every city action must conform to the policies contained within the comp plan. I would like to change that must to should. Is a comp plan a, is that a law or what?
Yes, actually the comp plan sets the goals and policies and the zoning that results from the comp plan and the land use must be consistent with the comprehensive plan, and the development regulations that are put together for the zoning categories and so forth for critical areas and all those subjects must be consistent with the policies in the comp plan. So there is a thing like an ice cream cone, you know, the comp plan has got those general policies, then the zoning interprets the land use and the development regulations interpret the zoning regulations that circle back to the policy statements. So it should all be consistent. It must all be consistent.
It seems to me we got in trouble once on a must.
Yeah.
And I don't like musts.
That's basic growth management.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, Leland talks about the air corn. They raise a reasonable question. And intentionally calling this out as to what should the city be thinking about.
Definitely outside the box.
Yes, yes. Do we continue to support the airport directly and indirectly, and particularly through the comp plan? Or after some discussion with Daryl and the owners, are there other options out there?
Yep,
and should that airport be secondary or possibly even change completely?
If he wants to keep it.
So there's a willing seller for the airport, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The owner's a willing seller, but he also has owned this airport for many, many decades. And there's a lot of support out there for preserving it and expanding it. The key is expanding and making it a viable airport operation.
But right now, he's losing money on it.
Right.
And if it was me, and I had, I was losing money on my venture, I'd be seriously thinking about other ways of getting out of that. So, it makes sense.
They also talk about the Fryland Industrial Park and some thoughts about re-energizing that industrial area, things like underdeveloped properties or obsolete properties. And there are a number of non-employment uses out there. They are allowed per our code, our zoning code, but there's retail. There's, of course, the Rock Church is a big institution out there. And a fair amount of underdeveloped property that could be someday ripe for redevelopment and higher intensity industrial base. They talk about the general market and the relationship of North Kelsey to downtown and whether they can exist together. And the answer is yes. They are such totally different areas, one being the auto-centric regional draw, and the other one downtown, which is going to be more of a challenge, but nonetheless has a lot of potential to be revitalized, and a number of ideas to do with that. A lot of detail about the downtown. And then they also talk about some of these redevelopment possibilities with the school district and this. And you think about it in the context of this multi-use campus, the three entities coming together, there's a lot of potential for some serious revitalization with that. These are pretty high-level issues that should be talked about. What direction should we go?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to be easy to answer. There's not going to be a ready answer to this, but something that's going to trigger a lot of discussion. That's the intent, is to trigger some discussion. Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, just from a practical standpoint, I think it would be good if we could somehow get an idea of the acreage that would be involved in the Airport property, because I'm looking at the hangars were built, and I think there was quite a to-do about, but they infringed on some critical areas, so this may be there is not that much acreage there to go into a wholesale use change and make it adequately efficient. But Commissioner Christensen has a good point that the dog ain't gonna hunt, it might be time to get another dog. Because I don't think it's gonna sort of Daryl and his family to continue something that, but as they say, you know, it's his option because it's his property. He can do whatever he wants to do.
Right.
I mean, he could even will the property and say it shall be nothing but an airport forever. I mean, because it's private property, he has that option. But it would be good to know how much property, because we talked about that in the airport plan. There isn't a lot of room out there because of Cripple Creek coming down, all these critical areas that Brad talked about. There's really not a lot of property there that is unencumbered. Mm-hmm. And if you tore those hangars down, that might open up a can of worms because there's a big ditch right behind them. There is, that property is pretty chopped up. Mm-hmm. It would be much less utilitarian in the future if it were reverted back to a vacant state, would be my guess. We look at East Monroe, how badly that was chopped up. And I would suspect that the airport would be treated similarly by those who you know, have the authority to impose those conditions.
And a lot of critical area out there, a lot of wetlands. You recall the airport runway expansion involves quite a bit of wetland fill, and there are a lot of restrictions there. But that would take a, you know, a different level of study to see really what is available. When we went through that rezone a couple of years ago, bring back the some acreage information and so forth from that. We did that in 2012.
Yeah.
Right.
Didn't we say it would be more used if it was widened and lengthened? There was, it's like one of the shorter or most narrow.
Yeah.
And some flight schools are not allowed to land here.
Right.
So maybe it just needs to be improved before it's...
Well, I think they looked at that. I think Daryl actually looked at that. There was some,
well, that was kind of a thing, but then the developer didn't come through. I thought they were going to do that. It was part of that whole man caves and all of that.
I thought there was some other issues about widening it. So.
I don't remember.
Now, Daryl would have that answer there.
But he left.
Yeah.
There were actually three different cases. One was the original developer that teamed up with Daryl for the comp plan amendment and the rezone that we talked about back in 2012. And for some reason that effort did not get off the ground. After that was this possibility of a forward investment program, EB-5 program is called, where foreigners can make investments, I mean, maybe a minimum $500,000 or more into at-risk kinds of ventures that would fund a development program to extend and widen the runway, bring in airport-related uses and so forth. That did not look fairly promising for a while, but it did not come together. And then just several months ago, there was some pretty strong interest from two parties, one with a flight school, and the other was a general contractor that does quite a bit of large-scale development, that were interested in the airport function, and they were also interested in the possibility of some other related uses, or in some cases non-airport related uses. But there are some restrictions in terms of the available land and the clear zone requirements and so forth that make it a little difficult to do too much. We had an inquiry about a, you know, a five-story hotel on the airport property, but I don't think it would, not only there's space for that there, even if it could be done. So it's there's been interest that has come and gone, and we haven't heard anything for some time now. But it's something worth discussing.
I believe when the economy gets up, it'll do better.
Yeah, how long have
they
been saying that?
Yeah, we've changed leadership.
Oh. You know, Commissioner Rodham did bring up a good point though about the emergency helicopter landing.
Yeah, is it a helicopter or a plane?
It's helicopters.
Okay.
They use the parking lot over the fairgrounds.
Yeah, and there's space over there that they could definitely land. The only problem is if there's a fair going on, then they have another problem.
You can land in the middle of the highway too.
But, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea if there is some industrial area there that they have a pad that would be left for space to land at. For hospital use.
On top of the hospital.
Yeah. There you go.
I guess in an ideal world, it would be a fully functioning airport that would allow commercial flight, meaning pilots for hire could fly in and out of the airport. There'd be, you know, good airport facility support and some other related tourism tied to the fairgrounds and some employment, some good primary employment on that site, but a lot of challenges there.
I was just going to ask about the helicopter. He covered that.
Okay. Last item is an initial draft of the goals and policies. Now, we are working with this, working with the consultant to do a little bit of reorganization on this. In this case, they've taken all of our existing goals and policies and done some restructuring. For about 170 some policies, which are in the process of being culled and reorganized. These are set up now as an initial draft, where each goal and each policy in this separate part of the plan will be tied to different elements of the plan. Where does it come into the plan? The first goal is in all but one element.
N means it's...
And it's actually, this printed a little strange, it's actually a square. The printer malfunctioned a little bit on that, and every once in a while in the text you'll see a strange symbol instead of a letter. So we had some problems with the printer that day.
It's an A with a circle on top.
Right, yeah, some strange things. The idea here is to have an appendix that has all the goals and policies in one place, so that, and they may be, in the end product, goals that are specific to land use may well be pulled back into the land use element, but yet, there won't be, and some of those goals may repeat in the housing element or the economic development element, but in the appendix, these are all together and can be considered as one. So one thing that's going to do is remove conflicts. We have a similar policy or goal that falls in four different elements of the comp plan, like we do now, and all a little bit different. It removes some of that confusion or inconsistency between those policies. But these are really put out here for some for you to get familiar with some of these policies. The highlighted items in here are things that they wanted to call attention to. There's some that's specifically related to the airport, about the potential Southwest UGA, the bypass. But a number of these things on first share is after the discussion about whether the comp plan should still strongly support. Do we keep these policies, beef them up, or do we go a totally different direction? That's something to be determined over the next few months even. But it's a lot of material. Some of these are community-wide, city-wide. Some are peculiar to say the downtown area. Some are more focused on parks. Some are more focused on transportation, which is typically citywide. But again, this is something to bring you. This is not to go through this in any great detail at this point, but just to have you get a little bit more familiar with these, give them some thought, and come together on the 29th and be able to have a pretty good discussion in general about these policies. And are there things that should be specifically acknowledged and say, yes, let's continue with that direction, or no, we should not be thinking about this, like the first air, about redeveloping first air. I think keep going back to that as one of the big issues.
Quick question, Paul. The yellow areas or orange areas blocked out, what's the reason for that?
They wanted to call attention to those specifically as whether they should be reconsidered or refined. Places where they had, where the consultants had questions. And there are some policies at the very end that may want to be omitted or reconsidered. They're kind of in the unknown category. I'll say it is a lot of material, but it's meant to be a beginning. And like I say, before we get to the 29th, in another week or so, we'll have a reformatted, a little better organization that breaks it up.
The policies will be under the goals.
Pardon me?
The policies will be under the goals.
No, the policies will still be separate in that in this framework, but the policies will be better organized to give you an idea of how, of where they're occurring, what areas they apply to, and like I said, you go through it and you get reading points between one section and another. And now it's a continuous string of policies.
Tell us POA2. What area that would be in, or you know what I mean? I can see that being very useful, actually.
Yeah. So we're going to do some work with that in the meantime.
I think we could use the sign guy at this point, because we really need 164 policies.
Yeah, I think that's going to eventually get down to maybe more like 100 or 120 rather than 160 something. That's going to be an exercise in considering and complaining and deleting in some cases, and adding new ones where necessary.
Aren't the policies supposed to support the goal that's set? So you say here's the goal, and here are the policies that are supporting that goal?
Generally, yes.
So why is this format? So I'm going to have to look at every policy and go, which goals is supporting it? Does it make sense? Right? Well, that doesn't make sense to me. It's not logical. The last time we did goals and policies, it was laid out where there was goal number one, and then here are the five policies that support goal number one, then you have goal number two. So why do we go to this if that doesn't make any sense?
It's a little different format that we had quite a bit of discussion about with the consultant. This as a standalone appendix, like I meant previously, then there will be sections in each element that will tie them together per that element. But I do see value in a complete appendix where you can simply go for goals and policies. And
would it be possible to use this format but interleave the goals with policies in that same one?
Yeah, and I think that maybe should be part of your organization is tying together.
I agree with Commissioner Tuttle. I do like the idea of having the goal and then the policies that pertain to that goal.
It's like when you write a paragraph, you write your thesis, and then everything under that supports that. And so to have it all broken up this way, I'm not going to know if some of these goals make sense or not without going back and forth to see, well, which are these policies, which goal are they supporting, and should it even be there? But Brad had a...
I was just going to say, maybe you made a similar thing as you did with, you know, policy one is land use, housing, you know, all the lands, which are supposed to be boxes. And then underneath that somewhere, you could put, this supports goal 1, 6, and 8.
Right.
Something like that. We just kind of tie them back together. But kind of like having all the policies just in one column.
That's easier for you to go through, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we're supposed to be doing that, we're not supposed to be doing that.
Yeah. That, and that makes sense for reference.
Yeah.
For construction, I think it's more efficient to put the goals and the policies all in their same chapter. But I mean, I can sit and cross-reference. I just, it seems like a...
So are some of the policies meet multiple goals, so they would be there twice?
That might be, and that might be, and that might be where a chart, that's how we ended up doing a chart for design code rather because of the redundancy. Mm-hmm. That might be.
Policies are like, a single policy may apply to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different goals. Mm-hmm. And certainly, and some are going to be very specific, but strictly one-to-one, you know, a goal for improved level of service for vehicular is going to translate directly back to the transportation goal. Whereas something that's more wide, that's more general, might apply to 3 or 4 different elements.
Okay. I totally get that. I just
we're working on trying to make it more usable.
Yeah, because when we were doing this before, the goals and policies are not exclusive of each other, you know, and they might be as far as an appendix goes, but as far as the design and the creation, the policies are supposed to uphold the goal. So maybe if some of them are redundant, that means maybe some of the goals are redundant. I'm not sure. I mean, once we get into it, I guess we'll see.
I think the goals are fairly distinctive. The policies do have a lot of overlap.
Gotcha.
And what we're really trying to avoid is repetition and conflict within those things.
And a stack of paper that's that.
Right. Exactly. We have many redundant things in our current conflict.
All right. Thank you. Okay, anything else, Paul, on that?
I don't think so. More information's coming.
So we've got a lot of homework to do. All right. Commissioners, any questions before we go? All right, then let's move to discussion by commissioners and staff. Paul?
Yes, quick updates on East Monroe. Council tomorrow night will be considering, and we hope we'll make a decision about either moving ahead to comply with the growth management, or to provide compliance to the growth management hearing board to uphold the East Monroe land use and rezoning. That would involve preparation of a supplementary environmental impact statement to address all of the issues that have been raised by the board being inadequate. It involves quite a bit of additional environmental analysis, better consideration of alternatives for development and measuring the impacts of those alternatives for the entire site. It also, I think, in order to accomplish compliance, is going to have to involve some fairly extensive geotechnical earth and flooding hydrology studies, particularly related to the steep bluff and landslide potential, and the flooding issues, hydrology issues. And so we put together a, with the help of our on-call environmental consultant, put together a scope of work for what we think. And our best recommendation is required to meet the requirements of the board and uphold the ordinances. And scope of work with estimated costs, and this is in the agenda, the council material, but the estimated cost of the supplementary EIS is somewhere between $135,000 and $195,000. The landowner, I think, is looking at contributing something to that, but the majority of it would be borne by the city. And that would also involve asking for an extension from the board for another 6 months to comply, to come into compliance. The other alternative would be to simply stop the process now and not do any further work. And we will be in compliance by respecting the board's decision, which would invalidate, well, in fact, it already has invalidated the rezone.
Commissioner Rodney?
Is this going to end in a lawsuit one way or the other?
Well, the city, if we do the work to come into compliance, and we get an extension to, say, August, and the Growth Management Hearing Board then rules that the requirements have been met and restores the zoning and land use, the petitioners could decide to appeal that to the Superior Court. There's a never-ending potential for further appeals. That's a appealing to court is quite an undertaking, but it's a possibility. The city, one of the options for the city was to appeal the Growth Management Hearing Board decision as being inappropriate or improper, but it was not a good option, legally speaking. But yes, the neighbors certainly could continue the appeal process once we decide what we're going to do.
If the city were to not pursue it, then could there be a lawsuit from the applicant?
Possible.
Yeah.
Based on what?
You know, I mean, anything can be litigated. Yeah.
Commissioner Sherwood?
I read the three stooges' decision, and I was very surprised that an appeal wasn't found to be a viable option because it was incredibly biased, incredibly uninformed, incredibly wrong in a lot of aspects. So why was the decision made that an appeal could not be viable?
Based on legal advice.
So the city's attorney?
Yes. Did not deem it a very viable option. Okay. It was one of several options, but not a viable option.
But the city attorney doesn't really advise. They tell you what your options are.
Options and gives advice on each
other. Executive session stuff. That was not chosen. That's this first week.
I'm just saying, yeah. I've been in executive sessions, and yeah. He didn't say, here's what you should do or here's what you shouldn't do. They always said, here's what your options are, and then if there were questions, follow-up questions, I could answer those. But I never felt like the city attorney was there to give advice as much as he was there to say what your liabilities are. But, I mean, so we should be doing what we want to be doing, not what.
Okay. Anything else, Paul?
Well, we continue to be busy. We're still processing the Bear Mountain subdivision, getting closer on that. The Eaglemont first phase, Division 1, has been sold to another developer, builder. 63 lots, I think it is. So I'm expecting that we may be getting quite a slurry of single-family home permits here fairly soon in Eaglemont. Chain Lake Estates is Rick Hansen, the local Snohomish builder, doing a lot of work here in town. At Mountain Ridge Road, there's 26 lots that have been, that are in the final plat process. It's built. Final plat will be approved in the next few weeks. Other subdivision work going on. I think I mentioned last time about a tractor supply by Jack in the Box.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
Roosevelt and
okay.
Highway 2. I believe that's going to, that they're in their diligence period now, and I believe that's going to happen. 28,000 square foot.
Okay.
Building. It's they actually own Dick's Tire, or Dell's. Dell's is owned by Tractor Supply.
Lot of activity.
What about the Albertsons parking lot?
Albertsons has been sold to Group of Snohomish, and they're looking at doing, we haven't seen any plans yet, but I think their plans are to do a fair amount of remodeling, rehab in that center. So looking for a good bit of work coming there. Probably this next year.
Yeah.
And Walmart's going to be finished, right?
Walmart is trying to get to the point where they can have a temporary certificate of occupancy so they can get their people in the store to start stocking the shelves and the products and so forth.
Christmas is coming.
Right now, they are hoping for a November 12th grand opening. They're not quite ready for their temporary certificate of occupancy yet, but they're pretty close. But there are some things that are going to have to be completed and worked out in order for everything to come into place.
It was raining really hard right now.
Yeah.
They are anxious. But there are certain things that have to be provided before any sort of occupancy can be granted.
Yeah.
So we're working with them on a daily basis.
They got lucky with a long summer.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, apparently it's going to be a mild winter.
Do we know what, if anything, is going on the corner of their property?
She got figured out it's going to get cool.
That's what she says.
The corner property at Kelsey and Galaxy, it's a pad. And my understanding that Walmart is no doubt going to sell that piece, possibly for fast food, but I don't think anything's going to happen until after they open.
They're usually associated with Panda Express.
Well, we heard that before, yeah, Panda Express is going there. Well, that's more Chinese food.
Anything else, Paul?
Well, Subway. It could be a Subway.
Commissioner Jensen.
I'm curious if the city has at least can file complaints with the contractors on 522 when they run late past their posted closure times.
Yeah.
Because my understanding is I think it's 5 in the morning. They're supposed to be out of the way on 522, and yet there are mornings where not just that there's a lot of traffic on Main Street, but it's stopped, which means they're doing something on the highway that is stopping traffic, even after 6 in the morning.
Yeah, it's been backed up too.
But this morning, there was nothing. Well, there was a little bit, but it was more traditional this morning, but last week there was some
Park Place Middle School is where it backs up to.
Yeah.
It's 6:10.
If even 6 o'clock sometimes, yeah. But yeah, that shouldn't be there, and the contractor needs to be, I don't know if they can be some fine applied to them because they've exceeded their limits.
The city has a field.
Not that you can try to find, but if the city complains to WashDOT that this is happening, then WashDOT can go to the contractor and say, yeah, I want to break into your terms.
Your best bet really is to complain directly to WashDOT. They are, city doesn't have any authority over WashDOT.
Actually, the best bet is to complain to your elected representative and control the budget of WashDOT.
Your best bet is to get Jesse.
Anything else, Commissioner Johnson?
No.
Commissioner Tuttle?
No.
Commissioner Rodman? Commissioner Sherwood, anything?
Nothing.
Commissioner Stanton?
Nothing for me.
I don't have anything that I need to bring up at this meeting, so.
There's chamber lunch tomorrow. Chamber lunch.
Susan Delvini is the speaker.
Chamber of Commerce.
Chamber of Commerce lunch.
We go for the short version now, the chamber lunch.
Our next meeting.
Chamber.
You do it with the pizza?
No, not this time.
Are we having a meeting in 2 weeks, 2 days before this joint?
No. No, should I mention that there is no regular commission meeting later this month. It will be replaced by the Wednesday night, October 29th meeting. Normally we would meet on October 27th, that's a good guess.
Wednesday night.
You bring in donuts?
Unless you want to meet again on this material before the 29th, we can certainly do that.
Is this material what we're talking about, primarily? Nothing else?
Okay.
I do have one quick question.
Yes.
Are we going to get something reorganized before the 29th so that we can look at it? You said there was going to be some revisions. Will we get those in hand?
Yes, possibly as early as Wednesday of this week.
Thank you.
If not Thursday.
That'd be good. That'd be great. Anything else? Okay. Then I'll entertain you a motion for adjournment.
I keep waiting for the shuttle or something.
So
moved.
Second.
Commissioner Sherwood proposed to adjourn, seconded by Commissioner Tuttle. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thanks.
Chief Paul, thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much.
He's gone.
He is.
Do you know what Daryl was going to say when he was here? Did you talk to him?
Yeah, I sent him his wife leaving. I didn't know if he was just trying to get to us.
I think they were just thinking we were taking too long.
The ones that were.
Take your hands on this.
So given that the process is originally going to be first.
That's true.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It saves me waiting.
So I just need to let you know that. Now, do they take it out of this one? Do we get a payment for the joint meeting? Or is that not considered a?
That's considered a.
Sure, sometimes these things should.
Yes.
These were approved?
Yes.
You're sure?
I'm positive. Disapproved. Okay. What do you?
Raise your right hand. I saw them.
It's a big deal to put your name on something.
They said they were approved.
Okay.
So he should sign the minutes in reverse order?
What's that?
He should sign those minutes first, and then that authorizes. Yes, they were approved, so now he can sign.
You should sign.
They were signed.
You should sign Steve Jensen. Yeah.
Wow. Why do you sign them at all?
Did you get
it? Well, I thought it's a good question.
City Council doesn't have signed minutes.
No. You have to sign the bills.
You made me do that.
Oh, you're feeling.
I don't know.
That's great.
What are you doing? That's the
jury room. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
All right.
Jason, don't get it.
Shifting with the minutes.
I'm telling you, you know, I get to go on vacation this week.
Where are you going?
I am actually going to California to see my son graduate Marine boot camp.
Oh, down San Diego?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah, very, very fun.
Yeah.
I think he's crazy. I couldn't do it. I'm proud of him for...
A friend of my grandson's joining the Marines.
Oh, yeah?
He's preparing to go over to Iraq.
Nope. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Really? My nephew-in-law, he was in Iraq for a year, and he was supposed to be transferred out. It was like a... he turned to be like about a week after this whole...